Welcome to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
Hey guys, yesterday we had an amazing opportunity to show Park Meadows Elementary School just the love that you have for them. And our outreach director, Sophie's going to come up and share a little bit with you guys about what happened yesterday. There you go, Sophie. So you'll have to watch the slides because I didn't put them in order.
Okay.
But you can go ahead and say it.
Hi, everyone. So Love Our Schools Day was awesome. We got to do so many projects that the teachers specifically asked for. And for those of you that don't know, we do things with Park Meadows throughout the year. And so this is just one day that we get to physically and tangibly make the school better than when we came. So some of the things we did was we got to repaint their U.S. map that's outside by the playground. And it was so cool. They said that it hasn't been painted in 17 years. So the teachers were so happy, and we know that the kids are going to be so excited to see it on Monday. And we got to work in their cactus garden, and we did one of the big things we did was we did a ton of the teacher like prep work for their classes. And one of the teachers came in, and she started to cry. And she said, "I am so grateful. This takes up so much of my time, and now I get to have more time with my family and invest in my own kids, and I am so grateful that you did this." So that was really cool. And we just got to do things around the campus and invite people to church, and yeah, it was so cool. We love Park Meadows. I'm so grateful to all of you that came and helped. One of our values at City View is to love everybody always, and you guys did that yesterday, so thank you so much.
Good job. Thank you so much, Sophie, for leading our outreach team. I just appreciate her and all of her efforts and what she does to make us impact. You know, the reality is, City View Church, we may not, churches come and go. That's the reality. All the churches that God wrote about in Revelation, they're gone. But God never leaves. And we want to leave an imprint of Jesus here. Not City View. City View is, I mean, it's a good thing. But we want to leave an imprint that Jesus was at that campus. And so what you guys did, and I know some of you are like, "I missed out." I'm going to be honest, you did. It was just seeing everybody work together, working in that, if you would have seen the cactus garden, I mean, it was, Scott and I still have memories of the cactus garden living inside our skin right now of cactus. Like every once in a while, depending on ways I turn, I'll feel it in my ankle, and sometimes I'll feel it, depending on what I grab, I'll feel it in my hands, which is fun. He's just like, "I love Jesus and thorns, and Jesus took this for me." Man, I'm super spiritualizing something that really was just, I'm being silly. But it just was an awesome time, and watching that paint, I mean, you saw the picture, I mean, that's not it. Of the map, and one teacher, she said, I don't know how long it's been. All we know is we had one student say that she'd been going there for 10 years, not like she's in elementary, failed multiple times, but like her brothers and sisters and herself, and she said, "It's never been painted." And another teacher said, "I've worked here for 17 years, it's never been painted." So we don't know how long it's been like this, but seeing it look like this now, good timing, pro presenter. Come on, guys, look at that. You know what kids are going to do tomorrow? Kids are going to go run right over to that tomorrow morning, and they're going to be looking at that. I know my son Ezra, if he was going at that school, he would love that because it's colorful. He's all about colors. And you know the kids and the teachers are going to be okay. Say, "Hey, we're going to go out to the United States map, and we're going to learn about the United States today." They couldn't do that last week, but they can do that tomorrow. So thank you so much for loving the schools. So hey, we're jumping back into the series. Today is the final message on I'm Exhausted. I don't know about you guys, but I've loved this series because I can feel it ministers to me. Things are exhausting. And one thing is I was thinking about what else exhausts, because there's just a lot of things in life that exhaust, isn't there? Religion, different things, and, you know, people. People make life interesting, don't they? If it wasn't for people, I think life would be super boring. And people can be so rejuvenating, and boy, can they be exhausting. In both good and bad ways, but they can be exhausting. They can drain every bit of you. Coworkers, kids, family, friends. Some people, they can feel like literal emotional vampires, can't they? You get around them and it's like every bit of energy you have has just been sucked out of you in a matter of 1 5-minute conversation. And you walk away like, oh, I don't have anything left. What? And you're like, what just happened to me? Have you ever had that in one conversation? You're like, I think I just got hit by a bus and all I did was talk to somebody for 5 minutes. I've never heard so many problems in a matter of seconds. Ugh, but people can be so exhausting. But what's the solution? I mean, you could live life as a hermit. You could choose, go build a cabin in the middle of the woods and live in one of those creepy cabins that you see in a movie where people die. You could do that. That is one solution. You could become a hermit or whatever girl hermit is called. Hermet? I don't know. Hermit? Are there women hermits? They're hermits too? A hermit? You could do that. You could choose to avoid people for the rest of your life, but that's not going to work. So how can we learn to thrive in a world full of exhausting? How can we learn to thrive in a world that's full of exhausting? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. And Lord, I thank you that you are not exhausted with us. Because I know I'm exhausting. So Lord, thank you for not giving up. Thank you for not quitting. Jesus, I ask that you would just speak to us this morning. Speak to us in your word. Speak to your people, Lord, that are, Lord, at church. And we're all tired, Lord. We're tired. Tired from work. Tired from life. Just tired from, Lord, it just tired. And we're exhausted. And Lord, but we don't want to be. So Lord, whether your people are at Valley Life or Happy Valley or Meadows or Calvary Community or wherever your people are, Lord. God, rejuvenate us this morning. Rejuvenate us at City View in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You know, as I was thinking about this thought of people being exhausting, I started making a list of all the people in my life that are exhausting. And when I got to page 5 of listing all the people that were exhausting, I was exhausted. I was so tired. I'm like, and you put stars by those that really exhaust you, like family and all those people. You know, you're like, yes, double star, underline, highlight, bolden. You know, you got those people that are like extremely exhausted. You're like, avoid them at all costs. And you're like, but I'm seeing them every week. And so, you know, I'm kidding. I didn't really do that. Imagine if somebody found that list. My exhausting people. You accidentally email. Have you ever emailed something you didn't mean to email? Imagine if you did that with that list. That'd be crazy. yeah. But I was thinking about what it was like to be Jesus. Always going and always in need. Jesus was surrounded by exhausting people. When you really think about him, have you ever thought about the people that Jesus hung out with and the people that hung out with him? He was hit at every direction with exhausting people, yet not once did he lose it. I don't think I could have spent a day being Jesus and not lose it with people. Could you? I mean, when you really think, let's go through the list of the people that were around Jesus. First, you got his disciples who had little faith. They saw Jesus do all these amazing things, and Jesus tells them, hey, guys, let's get into a boat. Let's go to the other side of the boat. Jesus goes and falls asleep. If Jesus is resting, we can rest. If Jesus can take a nap, we can take a nap. So he's sleeping at the back of the boat, and then all of a sudden the storm comes up, and his disciples start freaking out, and they go shake him. Can you imagine? Have you ever been woken up in the middle of the night, a great sleep? If you have kids, you probably have had that before. Or anybody else, your wife or somebody hits you or I snore. Like, I do that, my wife, and she's like, honey, and she just kicks me. You're snoring again. I'm like, I'm sorry. She goes, roll over. I'm like, She goes, you were snoring even on your stomach. How does that happen? I'm like, I don't know. I'm exhausted. Our kids exhaust me. So his disciples freak out. They wake him up, and Jesus says to them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? And then he's got his family. His family, who did not believe in it. It says in Mark chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, it says that Jesus was out, he was in this house with people, and then he goes into this room, and then says his family come in. His family heard what was happening, and they tried to take him away, and they said, he is out of his mind. It says in John chapter 7, verse 5, it says, for even his brothers did not believe in him. So not only do his disciples not really have faith, and not only does his family not believe in him, and they're calling him crazy. Have you ever been called crazy by your family? Maybe somebody like, actually, I have. My family really, they've literally said, I've lost my mind. Jesus, his family, said he lost his mind. So, okay, not only is he being hit by the side of those that he should trust the most, not only is he being hit by those people that are his family, and now he's got the religious people. These religious leaders are against him, and they're coming at him, and they're almost every time you see Jesus and religious people, the next thing you hear is they pick up rocks to try to stone him. That's got to be tiring. Every time you're in this crowd of people that you should be able to trust, they've got rocks in their hands wanting to throw them at you. That can't be fun. And Jesus says to them in Matthew chapter 23, verses 27 to 28, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly you appear beautiful, but within you are full of dead people's bones and uncleanliness. So you also are outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. So not only is he being hit by his disciples not believing, not only is he being hit by his family saying you're crazy, not only is he being hit by the religious people, but then he's got everybody else. He's got the masses. He's got these crowds that are constantly coming to him. And it says in John chapter 6, verse 26 through 30, Jesus had just fed. Maybe you've never heard the story, but in the book of John, actually in every account, there's a story where this crowd of people is there and they're hungry. Jesus turns to one of his disciples. He goes, hey, what are we going to feed them? I don't know. We don't got anything. And another disciple says, well, I found 5 half fish sandwiches. That's all we got. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. We can make 5 fish sandwiches for like a 2-year-old. That's what we got, Jesus. He's like, that's enough. So he takes these, he breaks it into pieces, puts it in a basket. I don't know how you break fish into pieces. That had to have been disgusting, but who knows, whatever. I mean, it's dipping fish and chips. But so he's got these baskets, and all of a sudden, the disciples are watching this crowd just saw Jesus do this amazing thing. And then it comes to John chapter 6, verse 26. This just happened. It's like us hearing God's word in here, walking out the door and forgetting everything we just heard and everything we just saw. So it says, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval. And they replied, the crowd, we want to perform God's works too. What should we do? And Jesus said to them, this is the only work God wants for you. Believe in the one that he sent. And here's the exhausting thing. And they say, show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do, Jesus? Oh my gosh. I'd be like, are you kidding me? I just did something. Can you see how exhausting this would have been? I don't know how Jesus did it. How many times can you be with people and yet they don't get it? Can you guys relate to Jesus? Just being exhausted? I mean, you've got these disciples. Do you ever wonder maybe, will my kids ever listen to the things that I'm saying? Are they ever going to make it? Can you relate? Those of you who have kids, you're like, are they ever going to make it? Maybe you got roommates in college, and you're like, I don't know if they're ever going to make it through school. They literally have no ambition at all. They come, they sleep, they eat, they sleep, and that's it. I don't know if they're, and then you get frustrated. You're like, can you just pick up one thing? Just take out the trash one time. Can you please just not leave your dirty dishes one time? Can you relate? And they're just exhausting. You get these people, maybe you're a teacher and you've got these students in your classroom and you're like, I don't know if my second graders are going to make it to third grade. I honestly don't. They have no clue. Every day they ask me the same question. Teacher, what are we doing today? You're like, we're doing school. That's what we did yesterday. That's what we do every day. My kids this morning, we have some things that we do every single day when we get ready to leave the house. And there's really two things. One, you take the dogs outside, you let them go to the bathroom. Two, you bring the dogs backside, you put them in the kennels. That's what they do every day. And we asked the kids on our way to church this morning, and because it was stressful, nobody did anything. We're like, okay, what are the things that we do when we leave. And I go, Joel, tell me. He goes, okay, we're supposed to get out of bed. Okay, yeah, okay. And so he starts at the very beginning of the day, which I'm good. He was able to recap what we're supposed to do from beginning to end. I'm like, okay, those last few things, yes. Take the dogs out, put them in the kennel. That's it. But man, have you ever wondered, like maybe your employees, you're like, are they ever going to get it? Are they ever going to understand how to do such a simple thing that I ask? You know, we have these people in our lives so much like the disciples, and I wonder if Jesus thought so many times, are they going to get it? How exhausting is it? And then you've got family. Now, this is a difficult one because I've got a lot of family who go here, so I have to be very careful. And anything that I say, I have to pretty much walk on eggshells because they're going to think that he's talking about me. More than likely, if you feel the guilt, it's for you. That's from the Holy Spirit. I'm just not going to say it. So just take it and just say, God, I repent and change. Not you, though, Josh. My sister's in here. It's your baby sister, you know. She can't ever be annoying. But family. It's the very people that should have had Jesus' back, yet they were so exhausting for him. And maybe you feel like being with family is tough. And we're getting ready for Thanksgiving, and I don't know how many of you sort of dread that day. Dreading being around people that you know just are so exhausting. Maybe it's because they don't believe in you, they don't like you, they don't love you, they're always against you, they always make things difficult, they always cause a conflict. It's always there, and you know that as soon as you walk into that room, it's hard. Or maybe family is exhausting because you don't have it. And they're not there. And that feeling of loss, that feeling of hurt, that feeling of pain, it's exhausting, and we allow that to overcome and overwhelm us. Jesus understood that. And not just that, but the super religious. You never feel like you can reach their standard. You never can feel like you can do the kind of life they have. You know those super religious people that almost any time you have some kind of spiritual conversation with them, it's like they're condemning you and you're not a good enough Christian for them. You didn't have a good enough quiet time. And they ask you, how is your time in the Bible, or what are you reading right now? And they're asking you. The whole reason for asking is because they want to tell you what they got out of theirs. They want to over-spiritualize you. They want to one-up you. You know those people that are super spiritual? They're like, hey, how was church this week? I didn't go to, you didn't go to church. I'll pray for you. Were you sick? No. Was your kid sick? No. Did somebody die? No. What? Why didn't you go? I just was tired. Oh. I'll pray the Lord gives you rest. You know those super spiritual people? You know what I'm talking about? Those super religious. Jesus had those. Jesus had those people like, hey, Jesus, you can't be healing people on the Sabbath. You can't be doing good deeds on the Sabbath. You got to rest on the Sabbath. Jesus was like, this person's dying. He needs life on the Sabbath. You got those people. And then you got everyone else. Those people are constantly wanting, constantly in needs. They're never giving to you, but they're always asking from you. They're never there, but they're always wanting you to be there. That's just straight exhausting. So exhausting. Can you relate to Jesus? I think if I were Jesus, I would have lost it. Not going to lie. If I were Jesus, somebody would have seen my wrath before I died. If I were Jesus, I would have shocked Peter. I would have sent one lightning bolt. I would have been like, God, half power lightning bolt on Peter right now. Just half power. I don't want to kill him. I just want to shock him. I just want to give him a little taste of, hey, stop being so dumb right now. You're testing my patience. Okay, God, Pharisees, like three quarters shock. I want them to really feel it, knock him out for a couple days. But God, I don't want them to die. I don't want to have to bring them back to life because they're really, I don't know how Jesus made it. And have you ever thought, how did Jesus do it? Because I couldn't do Jesus. How did he do this for 33 years? How did he do it for 33 years? When we read the stories of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and how they tell how Jesus lived life, we get to see a picture of how did Jesus not end each day exhausted with people? Because that's how I end each day many times. I'm just exhausted. I get drained. I get so tired. How did he do that? So how did he deal with his disciples? How do you deal with these people that should have gotten it? I mean, they went through, you know, you got those discipleship classes. Maybe you don't know. There's classes when you're a Christian, you go through the discipleship. Discipleship 101, discipleship 201, discipleship 301. When you get to 301, you're a disciple and you can like lead discipleship groups. The disciples, they went through legit discipleship classes by Jesus, taught by Jesus himself. Yet at the end of discipleship 301, they failed. Jesus died. They're like, oh, we're done. What do you guys want to do? I don't know, let's go fishing. One of them's already dead, so he gave up really quick, but let's go fishing. I mean, you got to look. I mean, you look at the disciples. How did Jesus do it? Number one, he was patient with them. He was patient. He took time to teach them, and he never gave up on them. He always saw the potential in who they could be. When Jesus is on that boat with them and they wake him up, he doesn't wake up yelling, going, why do you have no faith? I was having a great dream of heaven, and now you bring me back to earth, you little punks. I've woken up with words like that. No, he said, guys, why are you afraid? I'm on your boat. I'm right here. Do you still have no faith? Did you not just see what I've been doing? He wasn't mad. And what does he do after this? He has this big moment. He could have said, okay, all 12 of you off the boat. I'm done. I'm going to get a new 12. I mean, you've got sports teams, you know, you got like the Raiders that are just like selling their teams and the Giants that are like, okay, everybody off the team, we're getting a new team. Jesus could have done that. He could have said, okay, I need a new 12. God, seriously, I need a new set of 12. I'm going to sell them. I want to get a whole bunch of first-round draft picks right now. Could have done that. But what did he do? He gets out of the boat on the other side. He goes, guys, there's somebody on this shore that needs me. He takes them with him. He teaches them how to see a changed life, and they get to see a changed life. And what does he do? He tells them all to get back in the boat. Now we're going to go to the other side to do even more. He never gives up on them. Jesus does the same with you and I. Same with us. How did he deal with family? How did he deal with family? Because that had to have been tough for your own mom, your own brothers and sisters, to say, hey, he's crazy. That had to have been really hard. To know your brothers don't believe in you, that had to sting a little bit. Have you ever had somebody just not believe in you? Somebody think you're not going to amount up to anything when you're done? Somebody look at you and think, you're a failure. I don't know what. Like, I had so many more dreams for you. How did Jesus do it? You know how he did it? He knew who he really was. Because his father told him. Here's what his dad said, God in heaven. He says, and a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly beloved son who brings me great joy. God said it again towards the end of his life. He says, this is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, two times, this is my son. He's from dad's in here. Your words hold power. Tell your kids they bring you joy. Tell your kids that you're proud of them. I know some of you are like, my dad's never told me that. God looks at you now as your real dad. And he says, you bring me joy. And I am proud of you. That's what got Jesus through. Here's what God says about you. We have to remember who we are. If we want to not be exhausted by our family at the end of the day, if we want to not be exhausted by being belittled and being hurt and people not believing in us, we've got to believe in what God believes in us and what God sees in us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says this, but you are my chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for my own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. God says this about you. You are my, I have chosen you. I picked you. You are a holy nation. You are a royal priesthood. He goes, you are my choice possession. That's what got Jesus through. The religious, how do you get through that? How did Jesus get through it? He didn't just let them keep talking. He pointed out, hey, here's where you're wrong. He didn't hold things back. He said, here's where you're wrong. He says, you blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of your cup, then work on the outside. Loving isn't always overlooking. Sometimes loving is redirecting. James talks about this. He says, my brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, meaning you have said, hey, you're off point. And then you've got the masses. How did he stay patient with the masses? He kept his purpose in view and let his compassion lead. He kept his purpose in view and he let his compassion lead. He remembered, I came for the lost. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who were lost. He had compassion. Jesus saw the crowd of people in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. He says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, he put their needs first. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom. When we remember that we are Christ, that we serve Christ, not man, that God wants to use us anywhere and everywhere, then we can see the opportunities that are before us. When our eyes are turned in, we get distracted. But when our eyes are turned up and out, we can focus on Jesus. We need to remember that we once were lost. We once were needing, and we once needed compassion. I read these things, and I'm looking at how Jesus did, and at the end of the day, I'm like, Jesus, I'm not you. I'm not you. There are sometimes the last thing I want to do is be patient, take time, and teach somebody how to do it right. I would just rather do it myself. Jesus, I'm not you. I forget sometimes who I am. Jesus, I'm not you. And sometimes I don't have compassion for the needy. I don't love the lost. God, Jesus, I'm not you. And so I look at this going, Jesus, I'm exhausted thinking about what you did. I'm exhausted looking at this. It's less about doing and more about remembering. Just like Jesus had patience with his disciples, he's patient with us. We need to remember who we are. Sometimes we need to stand up for what is right, like Jesus did. We need to remember that we too were lost, needy, and we needed compassion. When we remember these things, and when we remember at what lengths Jesus went to help us, it helps us to love others. He encouraged us in Matthew how to not be exhausted. He says, you want to know how not to be exhausted? This is it. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. I love how the Message reads it. The Message is a Bible translation. Jesus says this. He says, are you tired? Yeah. Are you worn out? Yes. Are you burned out on religion? Yes. He says, come to me. Get away with me. And you will recover your life. He doesn't say you will recover your breath. He doesn't say you will recover your moment. He says you will recover your life. How many of us have ever felt at the end of the day we've lost our life? We're at the end of our life. We're at the end of everything we have. And Jesus says, you come to me, you will recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Jesus says, you want to not be exhausted at the end of the day? He says, get away. Get away so you can recover. Some of us, we need a break. You need to find moments. My wife and I, we were so tired yesterday. You know what we did? We told our kids, do not wake us up. Now, some of you got babies, so this might be a little more difficult for you. But here's what we did. We said, boys, don't bother us. We're going, and we're going to take a nap. And we rested. Literal rest. Some of you, you need that. Jesus says, rest in me, not in anything else. Don't put your trust in your money. Don't put your trust in what a job can do. Don't put your trust in what a relationship can do. Jesus says, rest in me. He says, walk with me. That's that life, the life with we live. It's got to be walk with him, not with other people. Walking with him, living, going, Jesus, how can I live my life for you? Look at how he did life. That's reading the accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus says, look at what I did. So I was like, what did Jesus do? Well, read. So Jesus says, you want to know how not to be exhausted? Look at what I did. He says, be watchful. Grace is grace is unforced. He says, grace is light, it's not heavy. He says, stay in a relationship with me. He gives us some easy, simple things. As I read this passage, it's so calming. If you just read this all week, YouVersion Bible app, if you don't have it, download it to your phone. It's on our, if you go to the City View part on YouVersion Bible app, you go to the events, you'll find City View, you'll find this translation right there. It's the message. You read that every day this week, I'm going to guarantee you, it will bring peace to your soul. Because that's what God's word does. Jesus says, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out? Are you exhausted? Are you ready to give up? Are you at your wit's end? If you can say yes to any of those, Jesus says, then come to me. Come to me. Life can be exhausting, but Jesus offers the rest we all need. All we have to do is go to him.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to CityViewPHX.com.